Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening out there in radio land. This is the Daughters of Zion show, and today we're going to be talking about the book of Genesis, before the flood and after the flood. Hopefully I'll be able to clear up some questions that people tend to ask during, you know, the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and finally Babylon. So the Genesis sets the stage for the redemptive storyline in the Bible. The story opens with God's divine rule over the universe. As his representatives, humanity can choose to trust God for wisdom to rule, resulting in blessings for the entire world, or they can choose to define good and evil on their own, which will begin a destructive cycle that will introduce chaos and disorder into God's world. The first 11 chapters of Genesis show a repeated theme of rebellion, from the garden to Cain and Abel, the sons of God, the flood, and finally ends in Babylon. It is the fruit of this intimacy that happened in the garden that is a direct result of the continual conflict between God's people and him. Heaven and hell can never be reconciled, no more than Satan and a sanctified soul. To this end means there is likewise going to be a continual struggle between the wicked and the good, and all the malice of persecutors against the people of God is the fruit of this intimacy, which will continue while there is a godly man on this side of heaven and a wicked man on this side of hell. But God continues to give humanity the chance to bring blessings into the world. But they continually choose, as you'll see throughout the book of Genesis, they continually choose their own way. Yet, God promises, even in our rebellion, that a wounded victor will come to defeat evil at its source. Okay, let's start with Genesis 6, the wickedness of the world. When humans began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, which is really important here, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. Keep that in mind as we go through this story. So who were these human beings that had blemished the earth? Whose children were they? And who were the sons of God who married them? Well, Adam had lived 130 years. He had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Now, Cain and Abel were already there before Seth was born. It's telling you that Adam had already lived 130 years. Cain and Abel had to have been at least in their 80s when Seth was born, okay? So after he had Seth, he didn't say that he didn't have any other children before Seth, because we know this already. So after Seth was born, Adam lived another 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years, and then he died. So after the garden, we know that there were many children born in the 930 years. So these are the children, these are the daughters that the sons of God began to marry. Now, when Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. After he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years, and then he died. Now, when his son Enosh had lived 90 years, now you got to understand, children are being born within these years. So after Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. After he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived a total of 905 years, and then he died. So when Kenan lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalia. After he became the father of Mahalia, Kenan lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Kenan lived a total of 910 years. When Mahalia lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. After he became the father of Jared, Mahalia lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, he lived with 895 years. You got to pay attention to all these years now. So when Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. He was no more because God took him away. You don't say that Enoch died. God took him away. So when Methuselah lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. After he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Although Methuselah lived 968 years, and then altogether, he lived 968 years, and then he died. When Lamech had lived 100 and I think he lived 182 years, and he had a son. He named him Noah and said, "He will comfort us in labor and pain, toil of our hands caused by the ground that the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech, the father of Noah, lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I have to stop there because I just want to give you a clear picture of how the world was populated and how Cain could have went east of Eden and had a wife. It didn't say Cain met his wife east of Eden. It said Cain went west of Eden and had a wife. Now, this was life before the flood. So now you know that the world has been populated with many, 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 many people. At that time, this was also during the time Nephilims were on the earth, and afterwards where the sons of God went to daughters of humans and had children by them. So when the Nephilim was on the earth in those days, they were the products of the sons of God and the daughters of humans. Nephilim in the Hebrew Bible, a group of mysterious beings or people usually of large size and strength who lived both before and after the flood. The Nephilims, you know, are referenced in Genesis and in Numbers 13, 32, and 33. As the Israelites prepared to enter the land of Canaan, this is what they said in Numbers 13 and 32. And it reads, "So they brought to the Israelites an unfavorable report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land that we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw are of great size. There we saw the Nephilims come from the sons of God and human and ourselves, and they seemed to be like grasshoppers.'" So they were so huge that the mortar man looked like a grasshopper next to these Nephilims, okay? So there are several interpretations about the relationship between the sons of God and the Nephilims. Some have understood the sons of God to be the fallen angels, and the Nephilims, of course, are the offsprings they produce with human women, the daughters of men. The first generation of Nephilim lived between 500 and 700 years before the flood. This was during the days of Jared. Nephilims were killed off in Enoch days. Post-flood return of the Nephilims speak of the gene returning after 70 generations. They would come back to Earth. So that's like a genetic. It goes to sleep for 70 generations, and it reappears. A generation, of course, means all of the people born and living at the same time, regarded collectively. It can also be described as the average period generally between 20 and 30 years, where children, you know, are born and grow up, become adults, and then they begin to have children. Now, Noah appears in Genesis 5 and 2 as the son of Lamech and the ninth in descendant from Adam. When Noah was 500 years old, remember he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, these are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. The sons were born to them before the flood. So Genesis 10 and 21 indicates that Japheth is the oldest born. Noah had him when he was 500 years old. Ham is the youngest. That's in Genesis 9:24. And after Ham's inappropriate actions to his father, remember Ham's curse in Genesis 9:25 said that cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So therefore, Shem had to be born between Japheth and Ham. Shem was born not as a triplet. In the Bible, if you read it, you'll think they were all born at the same time. But, you know, they were born hundreds of years apart. So, which will show you in Genesis 7 and 6 and Genesis 11 and 10. So Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth. Okay, he was 600. So that means that his sons had to be at least 80 to 100 years old. Okay, so this is the account of Shem. 2 years after the flood, that means he had Shem when he was 502. Okay, so Noah was 600 years old when the floods came, and we are not sure the exact age, you know, of Ham in the scriptures, but we know he had to be born after Shem, okay? And this is very important, okay? So Noah was 600 years old when the flood came on the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the flood waters. So after they escaped the flood waters, now, you know, the flood waters have succeeded. And now you still got to understand, we have a lot of people that was destroyed during this flood. Now Noah is to restart, replenish the earth with his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They were to replenish the earth. So one of the sons of Ham was Cush. Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is always said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. But, you know, Nimrod is a mythical Asian conqueror and a builder who plays a prominent role in Genesis accounts of the development of evil after the flood. See, Nimrod came after the flood, so he is the reason the Bible gives as the one bringing evil back to man. So the mythology arriving at such understanding, you know, lies in the analysis of the parallel relationship between Nimrod and Esau. We're going to get to Esau later. But Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and this is why it said, you know, like a mighty hunter, you know, like Nimrod before the Lord. The first of his kingdoms was Babylon. The Bible states that he was a mighty hunter, of course, and he began to be mighty upon the earth. Okay, he was so mighty, he built the Tower of Babel, this which led to his reputation as king, the king who was rebellious against God. The beginning of the kingdom of Babel states, now the whole earth used the same language, the same words. It came about as they journeyed east, and they found a piece of land in Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and build them thoroughly. And they used bricks and stones, and they used tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build a city for ourselves and make a name for ourselves, and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. They wasn't only trying to build a tower that reached up to heaven. They were trying to build a tower that reached into heaven. Okay, and let us make. They wanted to make a name for themselves. So, what kind of name they wanted to make by trying to enter into God's heaven? We're going to get to that, and we're going to see that Nimrod was rebellious against God, and he wanted to start a war with God, okay? So the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, you know, which the son of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have the same language. And this is what they are beginning to do. If they can do this, there is nothing that they put their mind to will be impossible. So come, let us go down there and confuse their language so they will not understand one from another. And this is what God did. He came down, he stopped the building of the city of Babel and changed everything, changed their language, because the Lord, when he confused their language, he confused the whole of the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad all over the face of earth, of the earth. So this is how people started populating. It wasn't because they migrated. It was because they were scattered. Okay? So was Nimrod a Nephilim? Well, Genesis 10 provides us precious detail stating Nimrod was considered a mighty hunter, a mighty one before God. Many historians, you know, have their legends recorded Nimrod as a giant. But Masonic critics label this description kind of exaggerated, concluded that Nimrod was just a great physical statue, but he wasn't a Nephilim. But my research finds different. Okay? So when you think about Nimrod and the word mighty, Genesis 10 and 8, and Cush beggeth Nimrod. He became a mighty one. Now, when you become a mighty one in the earth, that's a big thing. You don't know of any mighty ones. Think about it. In the earth that you can name right off top. He's mighty. No. But the word mighty means powerful, warrior, tyrant, champion, mighty, strong, villain, man. I mean, it could include to be a giant. So in Genesis 6 and 4, it tells you there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore these children. Now, if we go back to the chronological order of starting with Adam and Eve and then with Noah having this, these are genetics. All of these people are connected. They're genetically connected. So why not in 70 years that these Nephilims come back, genes come back to earth, come back, you know, to earth. So let's get down to Genesis. It's really important. Okay, so Shem. Okay, Shem is regarded as the equivalent. Okay, meaning to be lofty on the heavens. I mean, he was like, he links the Nephilim to the infamous sons of God, Shem, Shem's generation. So even in Ezekiel 32 and 21, it says, the strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell, and with them that will help him. They are gone down, they lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. So we keep hearing about these giants and Nephilim, you know, throughout the Bible, even in Psalms 103 and 20. I'm running out of time. I didn't know I had so much to cover. But I want to get to Nimrod, because Nimrod is the key after what happened after the flood. So Nimrod was born to Cush, all right? And humans in Genesis 10 and 1 Chronicles 1 and 10, as opposed to being the son of a fallen angel, a Nephilim, but at some point became to be, you know, like a Nephilim, but it's kind of confusing when you start reading the two, comparing the two verses, okay? So being a mighty one, to my opinion, Nimrod was a Nephilim. He was a giant. And he was mighty in the earth. So in the book of, coming out of the book of Genesis, I want to quickly get to the book of Jasher, which is one of the other books of the Bible. And I'm going to read to you what happened. And then I guess I'm not going to have enough time to get to Esau and Nimrod, because there's a very important key between Nimrod and Esau. Esau, who was Abraham, was Isaac's son. And you got to understand, all these people were related. They all lived at the same time, regardless of how the Bible is split up and the verses are here and there. But all of these people were related and lived at the same time. So in the book of Joshua, starting at 7:24, I'm just going to tell you the story. How Nimrod got to be so mighty and powerful. So it says, and the garments of the skin which God made for Adam and his wife Eve, when they went out of the garden, were given to Cush. Remember, Cush is the father of Nimrod. For after the death of Adam and Eve, the garments were given to Enoch, the son of Jared. And when Enoch was taken up to God, he gave them to Methuselah, his son. And at the death of Methuselah, Noah took them and brought them into the ark. And they were with him until he went out of the ark. And in their going out, Ham stole the garments from Noah, his father, and took them and hid them from his brother. And when Ham begged his firstborn Cush, he gave the garment in secret, and they were with Cush for many days. And Cush concealed them from his sons and brother, and when Cush had Nimrod, he gave the garments to Nimrod through his love for his son. When Nimrod grew up and when he was 20 years old, he put on these garments. And Nimrod became strong when he put on the garments. And God gave him might and strength. And he was a mighty hunter in the earth. Yeah, he was a mighty hunter in the field. He hunted the animals and he built altars. He offered them up. He offered them the animals before God, and Nimrod strengthened himself, and he rose up from amongst his brothers and fought the battles of his brethren against all their enemies and round about. So that lets you know how, if he can fight all of the enemies by himself with no help, he was a mighty man before the Lord. And that's what Nimrod, how Nimrod became so powerful. And we got to think about that. You know, even though this book of Jasher is not in the Bible, it's part of the lost books of the Bible. And I learned a lot from reading some of the lost books of the Bible, because it gave me a better understanding of what happened in the garden. How Cain could go somewhere else and marry when there were not supposed to be any, you know, other people on earth. Who were these sons and sons of God who was marrying these daughters of men? But see, now the picture is clear that Adam had many children. He lived 900 and something years. So these children grew up within 900 years. They had children. Then they had, their children had children. You know, so 900, 800 years, they were living during these times until God said one day, you know, my spirit will not always dwell with man, because man is mortal. He's flesh, and he's always going to relate to his flesh. He will listen to his flesh before he listens to God. So God said, my spirit will not always dwell with them. Their years will be 120 years. So after the flood, the city of Babylon became the center point of this new wickedness that came about the earth. And I don't have time to get into that today because I'm down to my last 4 minutes. And I kind of had to rush through it because it was so much history that I had to put in focus so people could now understand that it wasn't just not Adam, Eve, and Cain and Abel upon the face of the earth. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks, you know, they did all of this. No, these were hundreds of years. Even when God created the heaven and the earth, 7 days to us is 7 days, but unto God is 1,000 years. Every year is 1,000. Every day is 1,000 years. So really look at the heavens and the earth being created in 7,000 years and not 7 days. So let's try to understand, put this thing in focus where it makes sense to us. And, you know, when you tell the story, because people, they'll be like, ain't no way in the world. This happened in those 7 days. And no, it wasn't 7 days. It was 7,000 years. So for 7,000 years, it took the earth to form, to grow, and, you know, to replenish itself. It was 7,000 years. And then with the children that were born, the sons and the daughters, you're looking at another thousands of years. You're not just looking at 7 or 8 days. So when I come back next week, we're going to talk about Nimrod and Babylon, because I hadn't even gotten into Babylon to tell you about Babylon, and Esau, because Esau lived during the days of Nimrod. And I don't want to give it away, but I kind of can't hold it back that Nimrod actually was the one, that Esau was actually the one that killed Nimrod. Both of them were mighty hunters in the earth. So next week we'll get to that, and get back to the city of Babylon and what happened in Babylon and why Nimrod rose up against God. It's just so much. That's why Babylon is mentioned also in Revelations. Babylon is the center point of the wickedness after the flood. You know, people be like, well, God destroyed all the evilness and nobody should be evil. No, it doesn't work that way. After 70 generations, it appeared again, this evilness, this wickedness, this enmity between God and man reappeared in 70 generations. So we're going to talk about that next week. I appreciate you listening today. I hope you learned something. I hope it gave you, you know, some thought that you will go back and research, you know, some of the things that I was saying. And, you know, hopefully you'll get a better understanding of what occurred in the book of Genesis, because it's so important. You know, history is very important. And the Bible is history. It is our history. And you can tell today that it's our history because what? We're repeating the same wickedness today. So God bless all of you. Until we meet again, may the Lord smile upon us and bless us in these times. Peace and blessings to all.